Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gents, we're back. This time for a different reason, totally different reason. Normally when I get on air, we're talking all night about regular boxing things, typically letting the fight fans get their thoughts out. But for the next 30 days, we're going to go with a different format where we're going to allow, actually, we'll still allow the fans to get their words in as well, but we're going to go to the experts. Over the next 30 days, 5 days a week, 60 minutes a night, Monday through Friday, we're going to break down Mayweather-Pacquiao from every angle possible with some of the best minds in the business. Tonight, kicking it off, very respected trainer in the world of boxing, great guy, one of the sharper minds I've heard talking boxing. That's actually why I wanted to get him on and have him kick us off. Henry Ramirez, many of you have seen his work with Chris Arreola, Jose Cito, a lot of other guys out there, but we're going to have him in the building with us tonight to talk some Mayweather-Pacquiao. Honestly, I need to pinch myself right now because it's hard to believe that this moment is actually here. I guess it's not really here just yet, but it's hard to believe that this moment is signed and en route. And when we look around the world of boxing, actually, when we look around the world of sports, it's interesting how everywhere you look, literally everywhere you look, whether it be TV, whether it's radio, whether it's in a barbershop, everywhere you go, everywhere I've gone, this fight is in the back of everyone's mind and at the tip of everyone's tongue. Honestly, it's almost surreal to even think about. I guess I don't want to get too strong on the fanboyisms and so forth, but I'm going to keep it real with you, man. This is a great moment for the sport of boxing. And honestly, I'm elated that we even are here talking about this. But when you think about the last few years, it's amazing we think about the evolution of this process. You know, we look at where this all started, the whole drug testing scenario. Then the lawsuits. Then all of a sudden Mayweather took his hiatus. Manny Pacquiao took over the number one spot in the sport. Mayweather comes back after a 20-month hiatus, absolutely embarrasses the guy that I view as arguably the best Mexican fighter that I think I've seen in my era. And, of course, I'm not discounting the efforts of Chavez and others back in the day, but technical skills, well-rounded, et cetera. Marquez, I think, definitely has an argument. But he's just one of those guys. Floyd Mayweather came back after, 20-month hiatus, something like that, totally blew him out the water. You're looking at one of the sharpest counterpunchers in the sport. It basically failed to land more than 8 punches in any one round. And I don't think he landed more than a couple jabs in any one round either. It was just amazing the way that Mayweather was able to come in after such a layoff and get the job done in such a brilliant fashion. But I think the reason that he was able to get that done is strictly a testament to who Mayweather is, and that's what makes this fight so compelling. And Manny Pacquiao, you have easily and arguably, I would say, the best offensive fighter of this era. You know, this is a guy lethal with both hands. You know, he's one of those guys that will dictate pace at all costs. And that's what, you know, I guess breaking it down, that's what makes it really interesting. Floyd Mayweather is also one of those guys who thrives on being able to dictate the pace. In a fight like this, generally the offensive fighter will get the edge and be able to basically rack up enough points and score victory. That's where it gets interesting for Pacquiao, because this is one of the rare times where we have such an offensively gifted fighter in with someone like Mayweather, who has totally taken defense to another level. You know, I was telling some fight fans before, and as a matter of fact, I put in some of my material not too long ago, that this is a rare moment in sports where history finally got it right. You know, we think about, you know, you look at something like, you look in a world of NBA. We would have loved to see Michael Jordan, a prime Michael Jordan, step in a ring against a prime Kobe Bryant. Never got an opportunity to see that with both of them in their prime. We would have loved to see a prime Ali versus a prime Tyson. Never got to see that one. Over the course of life, over the course of history, there have been a number of great, great talents, but the generations always separated them. Well, this is the one time where you can argue history got it right, and that's what makes this beautiful. My personal mantra for this fight is two legends, one night, no excuses, and that's what I think that we can all look forward to, because it's finally a reality and it's finally upon us. You know, when we look at the history of Manny Pacquiao, how dangerous he was, you know, just, I mean, the Let Wobba fight, you know, some of the other, the Morales fight, even though Morales won that, he basically had to walk through hell and tar to get the victory in that fight. But he was able to etch out a victory in the primary fight with Manny Pacquiao. Came out, they did it again. It wasn't even really close. Manny Pacquiao got the job done, you know. But you think about that, and it makes it really interesting because, you know, Manny Pacquiao is one of those guys that you never really see lose unless you somehow stop him. And that's what I think Mayweather's, that could be where Mayweather runs into an issue. Morales was able to outpoint him. We've never really seen that again. Bradley got a decision. I think many of us questioned how that all played out or why it played out the way that it did. When you look at it straight up, though, uncontested, you can argue that he has never really lost a fight on points. Can the defense of Floyd Mayweather make the difference in such a bout? I guess we'll find out soon enough. But nevertheless, rather than me running my mouth, I'm going to go ahead and take it out to the expert. Looks like my man Henry Ramirez is in the building with us. Let's go out to him. Coming to us from the left coast. Henry, are you with us? Henry. Seems like we got a little audio trouble there. Let's, Henry, if you're with us, I see him in the queue, but I don't hear him. Press 1. That should allow you to tap in, or we're going to let him work that out, ladies and gents. Let's give him a minute. We got a whole hour, trust me. We can definitely afford to give him a minute. Let's see. We got some more dropping in. Yeah, we got a little bit of an audio issue there. Henry, if you can hear me, I cannot hear you. Press 1. Okay. Hey, well, we're going to let him work that out. And when he's live, of course, we'll bring that interview right to you. What's the show without audio issues, right? Happens every time, happens to the best of them. I guess this is my night to jump in on that list. It's all good, though. Getting back to the point that I was stating earlier, I think it's really, really something that we definitely have to look forward to in terms of the dynamics of this fight with the defense, the offense, the brilliance behind both guys in the way that they attack. It's definitely something that I think will set a certain tone. I apologize, guys. We're having a little bit of an audio issue here. I'm trying to get my guest in for tonight. Let's see if hang on for a second. Let's try that one more time. Hey, Henry, you with us?
Peace.
There you go.
Nah,
how's it going,
Henry,
my man?
No. This is not Henry, man.
Okay, guess that's not Henry. What a way to start a show, right? Let's try number two. I'm sorry, we got the wrong line. Henry, are you with us?
I'm with you guys. Can you hear me?
There you go, my man. Yes, I can. I'm sorry. You know what? We got. I think the issue here. We got like four or five numbers popping in from your area code. Totally threw me off. Yeah,
okay.
I'm a rookie on the soundboard, so you got to forgive me. But nevertheless, it's good to have you, man. How's it going?
Oh, thanks for having me, man. Everything's going good.
That's good. That's good, man. Let's go ahead and jump right to it. You know, we're looking finally on the brink of actually getting this fight. You've been in a fight game for a while, obviously training quite a few guys out there on the West Coast. As a guy that's been around this sport, training, fighting, so forth, for Well, what does it mean to you to finally have this fight? What does it do for the sport, and what does it mean to you personally to finally get an opportunity to see this fight?
I mean, you know, first and foremost, as a fan, like everybody else, I'm excited. You know, I mean, you have the two biggest names in the sport who happen to be in the same division, two guys who are crossover guys who appeal to more than the masses. You know, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao are household names outside of boxing. So to have boxing put up to the forefront on May 2nd and the lead-up to the fight, I think it can only do good for the sport, along with all of the other fights that are being shown on TV. I think it really puts the boxing to the forefront. It's going to shatter pay-per-view numbers, and I just think it does nothing but benefit the sport. The only thing I'm going to add, though, this is the one fight, man. We cannot have any BS, any bullshit scoring, any bullshit refereeing. This is the one fight. Whoever wins, this is the one fight we cannot afford to have any controversy or black eye, so to speak, towards the sport of boxing, because this is a time when people who don't even watch boxing are going to watch it.
You know what, that's a hell of a point, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because I can segue right into that and get to some of my other stuff later. You know, Evander Holyfield came out publicly. I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to. Did you hear his comments?
I kind of heard it was something about somebody going to get screwed over. I didn't really pay attention to it, though.
Yeah, basically, and it was a lot that he said. He said a lot more than that, but obviously that part stuck. His whole point, in essence, was that boxing has a way of spoiling certain accolades or certain things. He was saying in his own situation, he said that he wanted to fight Riddick Bowe and he was going to ride off into the sunset, whatever. Next thing you know, one thing happened, the other thing happened. Things kind of went haywire, but he used that to say basically that and long story short, he would not be surprised if politics or the fact that there's so much money involved, you're obviously going to double that if it generates a rematch. When you look at the top rank history, we've seen a lot of that rematch stuff. His whole point was that it's a lot more reasons to make a rematch than there is not to. And it really got me thinking, because you're absolutely right. A fight of this magnitude, where you have people who really don't even watch boxing in some sectors, will be glued to the TV that night. This is the last thing we can do to the sport. But, I mean, let's keep it real. Realistically, I mean, if you had to put a number on there, as much as we don't want to see it, how strong do you think the odds are that we could very well be in a situation like that when you think of the money they could generate in a rematch?
Well, I mean, just knowing boxing, I would say it's a real possibility, you know. You know, I don't want to be naive enough to say, it can't happen, because it can. It definitely can happen. I hope, for one, it doesn't. You know what I mean? it would be nice to know that it was a huge event, a fight that, you know, like I said, appealed to all general sports fans. And regardless of who wins, there's no controversy. It'd be great. In a perfect world, it would be great, and I hope that's what happens. Regardless of whether you're a Manny Pacquiao fan or a Floyd Mayweather fan, let's just hope there's a clear verdict either way. You know, if the fight's close, ends up a draw with no controversy, then great. But if there's a bullshit decision or, you know, blinded judging, which is, like I said, very possible, I think it could hurt more than help, even on a rematch.
Yeah, I agree totally. And, I mean, we cannot allow something like that to happen with the world watching, literally. But let's get away from that. One other thing I do want to ask you about, and this was the issue in the beginning of the fight. You know, it's something I have to bring up. Don't necessarily want to. But I know that, you know, one of the callers out there are going to email it or text it at some point, so I'm just going to get right to it. Going to the beginning of the negotiations of this fight, we all expected the fight to happen. At one point, it looked really close. Manny Pacquiao came with his stipulations. Mayweather signed off on everything. Mayweather's response was, you know, just, I'm good with everything you want. I want one thing. That one thing was a steroid test. Unfortunately, that one thing prevented us from seeing this fight for nearly 6 years, among others, I guess. But going back to that whole scenario and looking at all of the drama, so forth, what were your thoughts as a trainer, as a personality in the sport? What were your thoughts about the way that all went down? Not necessarily asking you to point a finger, but what were your overall thoughts as a member of the boxing community?
You know, looking back, I guess, you know, if I was to question, I would say, you know, and like I said, I don't want to imply this to anybody, but I would say, why are you willing to agree to drug testing up until what we couldn't agree with before? You know what I mean? And it may be various reasons. I don't know. But that would be a sticking point to me. You know, obviously, for the fight to have happened, Manny Pacquiao agreed to stipulations as far as drug testing that he didn't agree to back then. You know what I mean? And maybe now, or maybe he just felt more desperate to make the fight. I don't know. I'm not privy to that, nor am I involved in that. But, you know, not to imply that he was, but, you know, I know that theory is out there. You know what I mean? I don't think, you know, Manny Pacquiao seems like a pretty honest, hardworking guy. You know what I mean? He seems like a real hardworking guy. And I don't think he would cheat. You know, now with people in the past that who was with them cheat, I don't know them. I just think that, you know, I think that I don't think there's any suspicion now with all the drug testing going on. Apparently both guys are being tested pretty regularly. And let's just hope, man, that nobody tests positive, and whatever the outcome is, it's clean either way, a clean verdict.
I agree totally. You know, one of my points with that whole testing thing, I didn't, and again, just like yourself, I don't want to turn this into an incriminating type thing. I'm just happy that the fight's happening, so I don't really like to entertain that angle a whole lot, but looking at it for what it is, you know, I thought that it was not a good move on their behalf to walk away from the testing or make that such a breaking point, because it would always give the cloud of suspicion or leave that cloud of suspicion over his head. Now that they're going to fight, everyone feels like, okay, great, he's agreeing to the test. There shouldn't be a problem. Well, one of the things that I think is an issue now, and I want your thoughts on this, if Manny Pacquiao, I mean, we've seen him before the Marquez knockout. We've seen him after the Marquez knockout. I think we could all agree he's still a very dangerous fighter. Heavy hands, he'll put you on your seat in a heartbeat, but he's still explosive the whole nine yards. If he comes out for this fight, Henry, and he does not look as explosive, if he does not look the way that we are accustomed to seeing Manny Pacquiao, what do you think that you personally, what are your thoughts in terms of how the perception could be towards his legacy? Does it help? Does it hurt? Does it hurt his legacy? What happens if he does not look as good as we're used to seeing him on May
2nd? I guess that perception will be there, or, you know, maybe some people's suspicion, but I think if he looks less than what, you know, his less than his spectacular self. I think more than anything, it'll probably go more to Mayweather's credit, more than what Mayweather didn't allow him to do, didn't allow him to look like, you know what I mean? More than anything,
you know,
in my opinion.
That's a beautiful answer, and that's exactly what I was looking for, because I was going to say, in my mind, it sets him up for a catch-22, because honestly, who has really looked good against Mayweather in the past? No one has. But Pacquiao,
right.
because of the whole testing controversy, is in a catch-22 where even if he joins the other 46, 47, and doesn't look good, then there's a question about his legacy. Hopefully that doesn't happen, because like you said excellently, he will, in
you know,
fact.
My
you
opinion,
know,
this is going to be a very close fight. These are the two best guys that each other has fought. You know, Manny is a troublesome style for a lot of people. He's a guy who can take away what you do best and dictate the pace of a fight like never before. He can take away what you do best and dictate the real estate, the terms, the pace of the fight. You know, it's going to be great. It's going to be great to see. And, you know, I favor Mayweather, but would I be surprised if Pacquiao won? No, not at all. These are the two best fighters of this generation. So, Pacquiao win wouldn't shock me, and Mayweather wouldn't shock me. You know?
Definitely. You know what? Let's talk strategy. Let's look at X's and O's. You touched on something right there that I definitely want to get your insight as a trainer on. You were saying that Mayweather likes to basically take away, excuse me, what you do best. Well, looking at some of the recent comments from Freddie Roach, et cetera, their strategy is pretty much to hone in on Mayweather's weaknesses and try to attack in those areas. As a trainer, which position
okay,
is the best
way to
go? I
have a question, though. Which are those? what are the glaring
you
weaknesses?
You know what? I was hoping that he would elaborate, because honestly, I haven't seen many myself. But, hey, just taking it for what it is. And that's what, you know, actually, you kind of answered my next question without me asking it. I don't think personally that it's a good strategy to go after his weaknesses, because he's shown so few, and the few that he's shown, he's covered up immediately after he's shown them in the past. So, I mean, I didn't really understand that from Freddie Rhodes, but what do you think about that whole thing with looking for weaknesses and trying to get
him? I think some of it's gamesmanship, man. I think a lot of it is some gamesmanship. You know, but, you know, I'm sure Freddie's going to formulate a great plan, and I'm sure he's, you know, going to implement things that he thinks would be beneficial to them. But I think a lot of it's gamesmanship also, you know, but he's playing it up, you know what I mean? You know, will Pacquiao, you know, Mayweather has a problem with southpaws. Everybody, who's not going to have a problem with a fast, quick, heavy-handed, fast-footed southpaw? Everybody, you know what I mean? Who's not going to have problems with Floyd Mayweather? I mean, everybody has problems with Floyd Mayweather. But I will say this, Pacquiao struggled. You know, if everybody he fought, De La Hoya, Mosley, you know, Margarito, he struggled with Marquez, who's a boxer, puncher, counterpuncher. Mayweather is in the same mold of Marquez, only he does everything better than Marquez. You know what I mean? But also, Pacquiao probably also struggled more with Marquez because of familiarity. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
Style-wise, you know, Mayweather is a good, great counterpuncher. And, we'll see. I mean, guys, I like everybody else, you know, I'm just glad the fight's happening, man. We could break the fight down 100 different ways, different analogies, different strategies. You know, we're a month away from finding out. You know, that's the great thing about this. We don't, you know, we're not having these conversations that we had 6 months ago, a year ago. Damn, you know, if we only could find out if they could ever get over the hoops and hurdles of and obstacles of the fight. Well, we don't have to worry about it. The fight's made, set, done. In a month, we're going to know. That's the great thing about, we can actually have these conversations and know that in a month, we're actually going to find out. That's the great thing about all this.
Yeah, that is the beauty, man. Honestly, it's almost surreal to me. I have to catch myself. I don't want to embarrass myself too much and look too fanish or fanboyish, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, man, this is a great time for boxing. It really is. But taking it a step further, looking more into the strategy, I want to get into your mind a little bit as a trainer and a guy who's worked the corners, et cetera. When you look at a guy like Manny Pacquiao? Again, in my mind, this is easily a top two, if not the top offensive fighter of this era. I think you could argue that. When you look at a guy like Manny Pacquiao, how do you really – and yes, granted, Mayweather has a great defense, but if you were in Mayweather's corner, how would you approach a cyclone like Manny Pacquiao? Like, what would you – what type of strategy would you employ?
Like you said, Manny Pacquiao is probably the best offensive fighter of, you know, the last 15 years, you know. I mean, it's arguably, but like you said, he's also fighting defensive fighter of this generation. And something's got to give here. You know, Manny Pacquiao is very fast, very quick hands, in and out, fast feet. Those are all advantages to him. But, you know, one of the good things that Mayweather does, excellent at timing a guy, you know, precision, you know, pinpointing things. He can run a guy into a shot. You know, he can use all those to his advantages. You know, he's got an excellent lead right hand. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting, man. I wish I knew the answer, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, definitely. And I'm hoping like hell these last 30 days fly by. But just to get a few more answers out of you, when we look at, you know, I look at these shows like First Take and you know, a lot of the ESPN interviews, CNN, SI, some of these different media outlets, and I listen to a lot of what people are saying. And I do find it very interesting that, surprisingly, I'm hearing a lot of people say that they think there's a possibility that Mayweather stops Pacquiao. That's something that, in my mind, even though we've seen it a few fights ago, Marquez, in my mind, it's totally incomprehensible. I don't see it. I don't see how it can happen. Am I being naive on this scenario? How strong do you think the odds are of Mayweather landing some type of stoppage against a guy as dangerous as Pacquiao, who will force him to step into danger just to land his few shots that he throws? What do you think about that?
I think if a knockout comes, it'll come off of a counterpunch, or, you know, a counterpunch will start the process. But I don't see a knockout. You know, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. I don't see it, though. I think we see a technical fight till Manny steps on the gas, and I think you'll see Floyd have to dig in a little bit. And I honestly, I'm not expecting Danny Ward, you know what I mean? But I think it may be a little more entertaining than people think. You know what I mean?
You know, that's an excellent point, and it takes me into my next question. I had a fight fan ask me something that I want to throw your way. He asked me what would be best for Mayweather's legacy. Would it be a one-sided victory where he shuts him out like he's done most other guys, or would it be a scenario where he actually touches the canvas and wins in a dogfight that nobody thought he could win in? Of those two scenarios, which do you think does more for his legacy if he does defeat Manny Pacquiao?
I think either way, as long as he's victorious, it doesn't matter. You know, whether he has to go through some real adversity, you know, it'll, you know, maybe to some people, oh wow, he was in one of those fights, but you know. Either way, I mean, a victory over Manny Pacquiao is significant now, you know, just as it was a few years ago. So I don't think, either way, me personally, I don't think it enhances his legacy. You know, obviously if he comes out and blows them out, that'd be something different. You know, I don't think, you know, if he wins a decision or wins an entertaining fight, I think his legacy is what his legacy is. And I'm sure people will still find a reason to hate him and say something negative about him.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get you blasted.
In my opinion, if Mayweather wins, he's going to get less credit than Manny Pacquiao.
That's an interesting point. Explain that a little bit. Elaborate.
Well, because, you know, Mayweather is so hated. Mayweather is so hated and vilified by a lot of people that, you know, they're obviously paying just, you know, and entertaining just to see him lose, you know. And you'll have a lot of people that will love to see him lose. In other words, I think people would love to see him lose more than they actually would Manny winning, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and I think that's a really fair assessment because, trust me, of the $300 million that they generate or whatever the heck the number will end up, I think 90% of that will be based on fans looking for him to lose. So
right,
I totally
right.
agree there. Yeah, let me ask you one more thing, Henry. When we look at, and this is taking a historical perspective on this whole fight, you know, it's obviously the biggest fight, one of the biggest, if not the biggest sporting event in history. But when we look at the historical element of the fighters themselves, you know, we think about all the greats, the Alis, the Sugar Rays, the Durans, the Chavez, all of those guys of yesteryear. Where do these two fighters, in your mind, just being around the sport the way that you have, seeing a lot of talent, understanding at a different level, where do these two fighters stack up from a historical perspective in your mind?
Me, personally, I don't really get into the whole historical aspect because we just don't really know. I mean, every time someone wants to say, oh, they could have competed in this era, this fighter would have beat them from 30 years ago, you know what? On whatever particular night they would have fought, we really don't know. You know, so me, I never really get into those discussions as far as historical. I just know both have accomplished a lot in this generation, and, you know, people are going to, you know, place them wherever they place them on their historical end. But to me, they've both done a lot for the sport in their time, and it should be appreciated.
Yeah, I asked that, and that's a really good answer. I asked that because, you know, of course, Manny Pacquiao, the whole eight different divisions, eight world titles, eight divisions, all of that stuff. Then, of course, you have Mayweather with his legacy. I do agree with you totally that it's tough to get into that debate because it's just so hard. I mean, outside of a video game, we'll never see these guys fight anyone from the last era. So it's really all opinion. But that's one thing that does come up often in you know, Mayweather with the whole TBE mantra. And, you know, I get asked that question a lot. I was very curious to get someone else's take on it. My personal opinion, I won't say that he's the best ever, but I can't say that he isn't the best ever. When I look at what he does from a plus-minus ratio, is really fascinating. No, that wasn't around in the day of Sugar Ray Robinson and some of those guys, but honestly, when you look at the lifestyle the guy has and the dedication that he has to even perform at this level, I think it's incredible. And to take it a step further, you know, one thing I've always said when it comes to the historical element, comparing him to a Sugar Ray Robinson, back in those days when guys fought, if you fought at welterweight, you walked around at welterweight because you were fighting 3-4 times a month. So he was really heralded for fighting a middleweight or middleweights as a welterweight. Basically, the fact that he was giving up 13, 15, 16 pounds, hence the term pound for pound. Well, when we look at what Mayweather does today, he basically is spotting guys the same amount of weight every night out. I mean, this would be one of the first fights I can remember where he's actually facing someone where he's the bigger guy or it's a comparable weight. So I think from that standpoint, you have to give some credibility to his name, particularly if he wins this fight in the historical debate. What would you say about something like that?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, I mean, Mayweather's a guy who fights at 47, but, you know, he walks around probably at 50. You know what I mean? And comes to the ring around 50, 52, you know. So usually he has given up some size and he's been over to you know, overcome all that, you know. But one of the things that I give Mayweather a lot of credit for, and even Pacquiao, but Mayweather more credit as far as this, is this is the man who has lived in Vegas for, I don't know, 15 years. He's got the fame and money to do whatever. Vegas is a city which probably has more temptation than any city in the world, and he lives right outside of it. But yet, when it's time for business, this man lives and trains a mile away from where every man maybe would have some temptation to do stuff, but he never shows up unprepared. And to me, I got to give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, that's something that I think a lot of people don't really factor in. And you know what, honestly, Henry, I think if he does pull this fight out, it'll be because of his consummate conditioning and the fact that this is a guy who really never takes a day off. I mean, you know, we see the flashes of the strip clubs or making it rain and all of this stuff, guys around and popping bottles. I've been around Floyd in the presence of some of the after parties, after the fights, some of these different places, you know, and it's funny, man, but I always laugh and say the same thing. Coke, coffee, and water. That's all I've ever seen the guy put to his lip. I've never seen him with alcohol. By his admission, he doesn't use it, doesn't do drugs. The guy's always in tip-top shape. And if you look at the promo, when they did the commercial a couple days after announcing this fight, I looked at the midsection because that's always the most telling thing for me. And the guy had a fully ripped six-pack. Manny Pacquiao, he was more like a four-pack. Like, it wasn't all there. But it let me know immediately that this guy was entering camp already in condition. And so he can literally go 8 weeks working on strategy, not trying to burn weight down.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I mean, he is a consummate professional as far as, you know, being prepared basically year-round and only fighting twice a year. Like I said, though, I mean, it's a fight I can't, like everybody else, I can't wait to see. I'm sure Floyd's in great shape. I'm sure Manny Pacquiao's in great shape. And I think it's great that the world's going to finally see the fight that everybody's been waiting for. You got to give Pacquiao credit for rebuilding himself because, you know, after the Marquez fight when he got knocked out, I honestly didn't think, you know, I, like everybody else, thought, okay, well, the fight's officially dead. Like, just got knocked out. But, you know, he's rebuilt himself since then, and the fight is as big now as it was ever going to be, or if not even bigger. So, I mean, you know, I one thing I remember Pacquiao said as in his post-fight interview, I don't know if it was immediately after or another interview I've seen where he says, if you don't want to take the chance of getting knocked out, don't box. That was a great answer, you know. Like, he got knocked out, he lost, but he just says, hey, it's boxing, and if you don't want that risk, then don't fight, you know.
Yeah,
and
I totally agree.
It seems like he's rebounded just fine, you know.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to the notion at all that the knockout is lingering. Or ask Chris Algieri if he thinks that the effects from that knockout is
right. So I think we're all in for a treat, regardless of who wins. I just think that the sport's going to benefit, and I hope that the sport can build off the momentum this fight's going to build, and especially, you know, with a lot of the boxing coming back to regular TV. I just think the sport is really in a good place right now.
Yeah, this
almost seems like, you know, there's a new platform being released every week or every 2 weeks. There's a new platform coming out.
Yeah, I love it because it's given the world, not just avid fight fans, but it's given the world an opportunity to look at some of the rising talent and some of this talent that's been around for a minute and really just not getting the recognition they deserve. So I think that's a really great thing. But tell you what, Tim, I don't want to hold you up a whole lot longer. I got a – hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Thought I lost you for a second. Yeah. I got a handful of – actually quite a few callers out there. We only have about 15 minutes left in the hour. Are you clear to take a couple calls, or do I need to let you run and get back to the gym?
I could take a couple calls. I'm actually at a weigh-in for some fights tomorrow night.
Okay, well,
I have a 10-0 prospect fighting tomorrow night here in Orange County.
I tell you what, since you mentioned it, definitely we got to get into that before we take calls. Tell me a little bit about the card going on tomorrow. Who exactly are you talking to about?
Yeah, I have a 10-0, 154-pound prospect. Kid's name is Joshua Connolly. I signed him with Al Haine last year, and he's fighting a kid named Cesar Villa, out of New York, rugged, real tough kid. And fighting tomorrow night at the Hangar here in Orange County. Some interesting prospects on the card. I think Heyman's got four or five guys, and there's some local kids. Also, like nine fights on the card, so it should be pretty good.
That's good to go, man. Glad to know you got that going on. Anytime you want to get your guys on, definitely let me know. We'll get them on the show. What I'm going to do in this last 20 minutes, we'll take a few calls. I know some of them wanted to get over to you. I'm going to take one really quickly. Let's go out to the 916. He's been hanging for a minute. Let's see what's on his mind. 916, Level Left and Lounge Radio. Let's talk boxing. 916.
Hey, just listening in, Vito.
What's going on, my man? How's it going?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I was just listening in, man.
Okay. We'll let you get back to the listening queue. I'm going to jump on. That being said, we're going to jump out to the 775. It's been hanging for a minute. 775, live on Left Hook Lounge Radio.
What's up, Vito?
How's it going, my man?
It's Corey. Anyway, I want to ask, I guess the question, as far as, like, in boxing, one thing I know some people talk about legacies, and as this fight has progressed, we've been hearing a lot about legacies. Why is boxing the only sport where people will complain about what point a fighter was in his career when he gets a victory or so forth over somebody, whereas, like, if you were, like, playing football, let's say the starting quarterback was hurt, people don't retroactively put an asterisk on it and say, well, they won the Super Bowl, but Tom Brady was hurt, so that Super Bowl don't count. But only boxing fans do that.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And but it really is poignant in boxing because a win over a top-notch fighter in the prime of his career is far more significant than maybe, say, a fighter who is at the top is more on the downside, just holding on or trying to preserve whatever he can. Some fighters also fight off the name they've created late in their career, and it's just more for the finances, you know, more to just get whatever last money they can. And, you know, unfortunately, it is part of it. It is truth. But it's part of the sport. That's one thing about boxing.
Yeah. I just hate when it's used to discredit fighters so much because some people will go out of their way. Like, a fighter from fight to fight isn't always going to be at his absolute best. I mean, very few fight. You know, the thing that makes a great fighter is he's that guy that's doing the correct thing 90% of the time. Whereas there's guys that are like flash in the pan guys that they're doing the right thing 80% of the time, and that's why they have good records versus guys that have great records. So I kind of find it insulting to, like, take, you know, diss people for wins, but I get what you're saying. Like, for example, we wouldn't say the version of Larry Holmes that beat Muhammad Ali isn't the same as Joe Frazier when he beat Muhammad Ali.
Correct. Far, far different.
Yeah, and then my other question, as far as, like, Vito kind of touched on it with you, but I wanted to get a little more, see if you could elaborate a little bit more. As far as if you were going to say, like, keys to the fight as far as, like, technical things that have caused the fight to play out a certain way, what are the things that you see that really stand out to you that are really glaring?
With what?
As far as, like, strategy and technique. What would you say are the things that are going to really make this make or break the fight as far as, like, who's able to gain control or able to impose their style on the fight?
Well, I think that the faster the pace the fight is fought up, the more benefited is to Pacquiao. The more slow pace, I think, favors Floyd. You know what I mean? He averages, you know, 40 punches a round. He's going to pick his spots. And I think that whoever is able to dictate the pace will have the upper hand initially, you know. And then comes the adjustments from there. But, you know, I think Floyd's ability to land a lead right hand, Pacquiao to be able to jump in, land quick combinations and get out without getting hit is going to be key for him.
Okay. And one thing a lot of people haven't talked about, this is my last question because I know you guys have to do. As far as closing space, how do you see Manny Pacquiao being able to do that? Because I think, like, from his side, I think that's what either makes or break whether, you know, how he makes the fight competitive. Because if closing space becomes a huge issue for him, I can see that being a way that the fight could turn out one-sided.
I'm not so sure so much on closing space. I think more just being able to get off in and out without getting caught, you know. Pacquiao will obviously come forward, throw his combinations, but the key is, will he be able to get back out without Floyd catching him? That's going to be a key factor, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know there's other people that want to get some questions in, so I just want to say thanks for taking time to come out, and thanks for taking my call.
All right, man. Take care.
Good stuff, Corey. Thank you. Okay, let's go ahead and jump back up. We're going to take one more, and Henry, I'm going to let you go ahead and get to the weigh-in, man. We ain't going to tell you
okay.
too long. Let's think. Got one more. Park. Looks like we got Park Madison coming in.
What's up, Vito? How you doing, brother?
How's it going, my man?
I'm good. Is the music too loud? Last night I realized when I was talking I was at a cigar bar, which I am right now as well, unfortunately.
No.
And
hey,
I noticed that there was too much. And I noticed there was
yeah,
too
no.
much music. So
no,
I'll make it very quick. I'm really looking for a lot more technical and tactical questions. And so basically, I'll say this. So when you know Manny, when he likes to attack, a lot of times he doesn't use a solid jab. A lot of time, mostly what he does is he uses his jab more as to set him up, or more as a blinding, so he can lead it, so he can shoot his straight left hand. Now, what I noticed with Marquez is that when he did that, instead of Marquez going to his left, Marquez was actually
going to his right.
Going to his right, and then when Manny would try and throw the left, Marquez would duck underneath his straight left, and then land a body punch. And Manny was never actually able to really figure that out. My question is that, you know, Floyd Mayweather likes to take away what most boxers do best. With Manny, obviously, that would be the straight left hand. The conventional thinking from what I've seen is that most of the
right
time the boxers go to their left. If Mayweather goes to Manny's right, how do you think that Manny will make that adjustment? And what do you see the benefits of Mayweather going to his right, or what would you see the benefits of Pacquiao trying to thwart that or trying to figure out another way of fighting? Because,
you know,
go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, we're, you know, alluding to the moving to the right, there are some trainers who believe that actually moving to the right is best. I know Joe Goosen's one of them. I know Nacho Berenstain's one of them. I'm more of the conventional where you slide to your left with your lead foot outside. But I'm
Absolutely.
Also not opposed if during a fight that it's not working, that we try moving to the right. So I do work on that with my guys. It is a benefit. You know, some guys are dead set against it, but I know Joe Goosen, like I said, he is hell-bent with his fighters moving to the right against the lefty, because as he explained it to me, and I'll never forget it, he says every lefty knows the fighter against the lefty is going to move to their right, to their left. I'm sorry, and when the fighter moves to the right, it actually throws them off.
Absolutely.
I don't expect Floyd to do anything different as far as whatever they believe in. And I know he's moved to his left. I don't expect him to do anything different. I believe he believes in what they can do. But if, you know, if during the fight maybe it's not going his way, I wouldn't be surprised if they did alter the game plan shifting over to the right, because it does work. Marquez worked it, you know, great against Pacquiao.
Right. Well, that was one of the reasons. That was one of the actually that main shot. When he stopped him, instead of him ducking under, he actually just moved his head.
Dip. Yeah, he just dipped.
To the
and
left,
you know,
he caught him with the right.
You know what's funny? I seen a video probably about 3 weeks after the fight with Marquez and Pacquiao, where Marquez knocked him out. I seen a video that came out afterwards, probably 3 weeks before the fight, that Marquez dropped the sparring partner with the exact same punch.
Yeah, Corey.
Yeah,
I posted that. Yeah, Corey Cunningham posted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm sorry I got to run. I've got to attend to this. Sorry.
Definitely. Hey, Henry, thanks for hanging out with us, my man. We'll be talking as it gets closer to fight time.
Vivek, anytime, my brother. I'm here for you, my man.
Hey, thank you, my man. Much love. You have a good one.
All right, thanks,
good luck with the fights tomorrow.
Talk to you. Bye.
All right, now. All right, so my man Henry is out of here. That was some good stuff, though. Great to get that perspective. Park, I think I still got you on. You still there, Park?
Yes, I'm still here, Vivi.
Okay.
So one of the things that, you know, for me, it's like me being a novice and following, you know, with the things of Lenz and Corey and Ricky Williams and those gentlemen, even you, actually, you know, it really made me really want to get into what makes these fighters great. And so, therefore, it really led me to the path of listening to people like Barry Robinson, as well as Wilson Caden, who breaks down a lot of film. So for me, it's like I try and look at it from the technical standpoint. So one of the things is that I noticed that, which is more really the question why I really wanted to, I was hoping that Henry could actually explore it a little bit more, was that, you know, when Manny likes to attack, you know, Floyd has a 5 or 6 inch, I think a 5 inch reach advantage. And also Floyd, you know, if you look at Floyd, if you look at Muhammad Ali, and I can't remember a couple other fighters. I'm sure it's a ton of fighters, but those are the ones that I can think about right now. They use something called a lead hand dummies, right? And it's basically to create space. It's actually to actually see how far away the opponent is, so that they'll know whether they're in punching range or not. And it also is a great defensive tactic too, because if a guy like Manager like punches in, if he uses that lead hand dominance, it can also actually pretty much stop him in his tracks and kind of confuse him. So for me, looking at that, you know, I really wanted to have more of a technical someone teach me more of the technical insight in terms of, do they think that, you know, Floyd will take a step back? Do they think that he will, step to the right and make Manny reset? When he goes to the right, is he going to go to the body? If he goes to the right, it's something that I've seen pretty much most of the last 4 or 5 fighters didn't do. They mostly basically stood there with a high guard and basically let Manny throw 5 or 6 punches until he was done, and then they would trade back. So, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, and a lot of the fans out there, I think that they would have a lot more realistic understanding of boxing and also, you know, this boxing match of what is going to take place just from a technical standpoint. Because a lot of times they see a boxer, you know, land a knockout punch or you know, why is he getting off first? And it has a lot to do with the technical aspect of the sport. So, but I don't want to get long-winded, but that's really what I was wanted to call in and maybe try and get your view as well in terms of how you're seeing it playing out, just from a technical standpoint. Because everybody talks about, well, he's fast, well, he has angles. Yeah, we know all that. But let's talk about, why does he have angles? And let's talk about, by him being fast, why was he able to land and why was he able to be such an aggressor on the last 5 or 6 opponents that he fought? And also, too, why is it that he's never fought a slick fighter with movement, talking about Manny Pacquiao? If you notice that, he's never fought a slick boxer with movement. Corey was talking about he never fought Zaim Ryer. He never fought, let's say, for example, Zapp. Is that a reason of what makes him look so great? Because we know Floyd fought brawlers, punchers, people that stand, you know, flat-footed. We know him, we saw him fight people with movement. So to me, that's some of the questions, you know, that needs to be explored, you know, since we got another 5 weeks for the fight.
Yeah, you know what, those are all excellent points, Park. Definitely thanks for bringing that up, and thanks for bringing it up to Henry, so we were able to actually get some technical expertise on that. To keep it real with you, I'm not nearly as deft with it as Henry is, being a trainer in the sport. But I will say this, Being that I do break down a lot of fight footage, I do make a concerted effort to study what these guys do, what makes them successful, what takes away from their level of success, et cetera. And that's one of the things that's interesting about this matchup. You know, many have heard me quoted as saying several times, I think it's a 50-50 fight. But when you look at the intangibles, you know, we can say best offense versus best defense and all of that stuff sounds good in theory. But the reality is, although Mayweather has the best defense, he's a top-rated offense. And it all goes back to this very conversation, because when you look at skill level, you have to look at the cerebral element, which is intelligence or ring IQ. Well, his ring IQ, you can argue, is by far greater than anyone in the game today as well. So all of those things add to the technical edge, and I think if anything, that's why he's enjoying, at least at this point, a 3-1 odds or a 2-1 odds, whatever it is right now. And we'll see how that changes closer to fight night, but honestly, I think it has a lot to do with the very point you raised. It's the technical element of this fight that you have to say favors Floyd Mayweather. You know, how many times have we seen this guy in the situation? Like you said, he's faced so many different styles. And I mean, not only is every man different in the ring, but the style that they go with is different. Well, we've seen Floyd in against punchers, fast guys. You name it, we've seen him in there with them. And every time in the past, anyway, we've seen him make some type of adjustments. And by the end of the night, you're typically looking at the same type of domination that we saw against other people. So, I mean, we'll see if Pacquiao changes that, which he very well could. But,
right.
I mean, it should be really interesting.
It should be interesting, Viv. It's going to be a great contest. But, you know, those are the things that really make me excited, you know, and also those are the things that I think that people should look at. I mean, when you look at Pacquiao, I mean, think about it. He's never fought a slick box. Why is that? I mean, think about it also as well, is that most of the people that he fought never really had really exceptional footwork. I mean, the only person that you could really say had footwork, and again, me being a novice, I wouldn't even say footwork. I would say movement, was really Algieri. And Algieri couldn't keep Pacquiao off him. Pacquiao didn't respect his straight right, and that's why Pacquiao got hit at least 8 or 9 times with a straight right hand, because he didn't respect it. But if you're fighting someone with movement and that you have to respect their right hand, then how is the fight going to play out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know what? That's just one of the many subplots that makes this a really interesting fight. And come May 2nd, a really interesting night. So, good thing about it is that we're, 30 days away now, something like that? So
yeah, man. 30 days away, brother.
Rapidly approaching. So, we got a lot more time to break this one down. But on that note, I want to say thanks for the call. Park, I'm going to go ahead and get ready to shut it down. We got another 60 seconds or so before it wipes me out. So, thanks for the call, my man.
Thank you. Thank you for accepting my call, Vivi. Have a nice night.
Absolutely. You too. All right, ladies and gents, we are down to the last 60 seconds or so of the broadcast. This is a little different format. I'm not actually taking calls. I wanted to bring them on for the guests, and then it's right back to the drawing board in preparation for tomorrow. Tomorrow night, ladies and gents, my man Randall Bailey, KO King, will be in the building with us, so we'll get some expertise from somebody that's actually in the ring, which is good stuff. But I do want to thank you guys for checking us out tonight on Left Hook Lounge Radio. Always great. We got 30 days to do this. A lot of people we're going to talk to, a lot of insight we're going to get, and keep your eye on the ticker. I'll post who we're going to talk to on a daily basis. For those who haven't seen the list so far, we got Kevin Ioli, Kieran and Mulvaney coming up. We got a couple athletes and celebrities that I don't want to let the cat out the bag on just yet, but we got a lot going on coming down the pike, so we're going to keep the buzz moving until the night of May 2nd, so keep your eyes locked, guys. On that note, I want to say peace, God bless, one love. Most of you know I'm a father of two, friend of all, lover of one, second to none. Good night, ladies and gents. Thank you again.